Let us begin in worship. This place is sacred because we make it so. This time is sacred not because there are hymnals or pulpits or pews, but because you are here. Let us join, as we do each week, in calling our greatest selves into being so that we can make a world more fair. And let us begin so in song. As we enter into the center of our service, we're called to enter into the center of ourselves. Each week during this time, we invite everyone here to take a moment to breathe, to take part in the radical action of 200 adults being silent with one another, to find where we're at and who we are and what we want in this world. During the time that the music's playing, I invite you to come forward and light candles if you want along the windowside, candles of hope, candles of sadness, of inspiration or anxiety or joy, whatever you are, be welcome in this time of silence and prayer and meditation. What could we do but say thank you? To wake up to a sun shining, and breath in our lungs, a community of friends and inclusion and love and hope. What could we do but say thank you? Yet we carry with us lives here that are whole. Each candle along the wall represents so much of a human life here this morning. And some of us come in joyful and afraid, anxious, worried, tired. So many of us come in with things for which it is hard to say thank you, but we come. For our friends in our community who were harmed so badly this week in the events in Knoxville, we lift up our hearts and prayers and hopes that in the midst of suffering we find light and hope, that in pain and confusion we still find community, and that in a world that seems so confusing, we make meaning and find love. Amen. I believe it was Lily Tomlin who said that no matter how cynical you get, you can't keep up. Now, I tend to normally fall on the very optimistic side of the spectrum, but this week I, and I think many of us here, were hit with a very harsh version of reality. This week, one community of ours had its foundations shaken to the core. Yet again, for the 13th time in 12 years in America, a place of worship became a place of violence. A place called a sanctuary that has sought for its safety and hope became a place of fear and anxiety. A community that gathered that morning for celebration has become a community in mourning. As many of you know or have heard, last Sunday, while we gathered here during our time of worship on July 27th, a man walked into the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church with a shotgun hidden in his guitar case. He entered the sanctuary during a performance by the congregation's children of a song from their summer musical, Annie, and he began shooting at those in attendance. So far, two adults have died as a result of the attack, and a handful of others remain wounded. When the police investigated, they found notes in the shooter's car saying how angry he was at the liberal community and for our tolerance and acceptance of the GLBT community within our own homes of worship. But overall, this appears to be the action of a very sick man whose frustrations found a focus in one of our churches. As a human being, it's very natural for me to want to try and make meaning out of a situation like this, but overall, it seems so senseless. For me, it's easy to take a community of faith and very quickly turn it into a community of doubt. As Unitarian Universalists, we talk a lot about how we're proud to bring doubt into our churches and in our religious life. We say it out loud so many times, and we're proud of that fact, and rightly so. I think a lot of times the kind of doubt that we hold up in praise here is a skeptical stance on creed or doctrine, or a questioning mind on philosophical truth. But the events of this week bring up a different kind of doubt. They highlight a reality that so many people in our communities bring into our sanctuary every single week. It hasn't taken me long in ministry to realize that any time we gather like this on Sunday morning, somebody here is asking questions like these. Can I make it through tonight? With all that's happening in the world, how can I make a difference? How can someone love me? Do I have what it takes to be a good person again? Overall, I look around me and I see that there's so much evidence of good in the world. There's absolutely so much that goes right in my day and my life that I never even notice. Just the act of getting into the car and driving across town involves thousands of acts of social cooperation and so many things going right. And this very superficial example highlights the fact that we live in a reality where so many things go right. But it only takes one thing to question the foundation. I'm sure most everyone in the room has had some type of situation like this. I know I have. A personal failure or a betrayal, the loss of someone we love, that calls into question our assumption that the world is good. One writer on doubt is the author David Michaels. In a recent book he wrote called Doubt is Our Product, Michaels explains how easy it is for one event or one well-placed question to make us cast into doubt everything we think we know about the world, even when there's so much evidence supporting it. He says that in modern history, our society has been unaware for the most part that there is a doubt industry working right under our noses. In the 1960s and 70s, when the dangers of cigarettes started to become a public issue, tobacco companies started to hire scientists and spokespersons whose entire job was to cast doubt in people's minds about the science that told them cigarettes were dangerous. Michaels took the title of his book from a cigarette company memo that reads like this, quote, "Doubt is our product, since it is the best means of competing with the body of fact that exists in the minds of the general public. It's also the means of establishing a controversy." Michael's book is about how we doubt, how this strategy, questioning what we know about the world, is at work again today, often with the exact same people who were hired 30 years ago, except this time it's politics or religion or the science of climate change. He says that the motivation behind this creation of doubt is explicit in its makers. If we're focused on the controversy and debating the facts, we do very little action in our own lives. People's best interest is laid in our doubting our own minds. My friends, we have been fed doubt, not just by some marketing scheme and not just by events that happen in our lives that are tragic, but our whole lives. So much of our society feeds itself off of us doubting our value as individuals. We're taught to believe that we're not good looking enough to have a partner, we need to buy something to fix that. We're not smart enough to get that job, we need to buy something to fix that. We don't have enough stuff to look wealthy enough to have value around our friends and family. We need to buy something to fix that. So many people's best interest rests in you doubting who you are as a person. As one of my favorite musical artists says, making you think you're crazy is a billion-dollar industry. But we here know that in real life, nothing that we buy is going to bring back a person that we loved. Nothing you can buy is going to take away a traumatic experience, and nothing that you can buy is going to give hope to someone for whom life has become a threat. So we come together in this place and offer a different product. But that product is not easy answers, and a lot of times it includes our doubt. In the back of our gray hymnal, the Reverend Robert Weston says this, "Cherish your doubts, for doubt is the attendant of truth. It is the touchstone of truth. It is an acid that eats away the false. It is a testing of belief. People who would silence your doubt are filled with fear. Their houses are built on shifting sands. I agree with Bob, but I have to tell you that it's so much easier for me to be a person who praises doubt when things in life seem simple, when I've got the safety to be ambiguous, or when things aren't falling apart for people I love. What do we do with our doubt when we see events like those that happened in Knoxville last weekend? For me, what Bob Weston was saying is that doubt is not meant to be a final product. It's part of the process. We use it as a tool so that we can trust something else. Now, we Unitarian Universalists are very talented at telling each other what we doubt. What is it that you trust? The Reverend Forrest Church has this to say about our foundations in our communities. We Unitarian Universalists have inherited a magnificent theological legacy. In a sweeping answer to creeds that mean to divide the human family, Unitarianism proclaims that we spring from a common source, and Universalism that we share a common destiny. In other words, we're all in this together. My friends, let us not doubt the power that this community has for people's lives. Don't think that because our product is not easy answers that we don't give people something. We have given and will continue to give a voice for justice and inclusion of all people that does, in fact, save people's lives. No matter what risks we have, we will continue building a community in which anyone who wants it can find more love. People often ask me, if we don't have a clear version of a God or an afterlife, what consolation does Unitarian Universalism give people who are facing death or pain? I think we saw a part of the answer to that question being lived this week. Annette Marquis is the district executive for the Thomas Jefferson District of our denomination, and this is the place where the shooting happened. She said that this week she's never been so proud to be a Unitarian Universalist. She watched our values being lived as our congregational and denominational leaders in 24 hours came down and formed a beautiful response effort. As we partnered with other faiths who were in solidarity with us, and as they ministered to the experiences of pain and fear that were so present in people that day. She was proud, as I am, that our hopeful faith had something to offer those people, that we didn't shrink away when the hardest of times actually did hit. On Monday evening at their first vigil service, our UUA president, Bill Sinkford, said this, "None of us will allow pain and anger to keep us from living our faith, from continuing to welcome all people, from standing on the side of love. We will not let that happen. We will continue our commitment to welcoming all." My friends, we have been told so many times what we can doubt. What is it that we as a community will learn to trust? For me, this week, life itself showed itself worthy of our faith, of our trust in communities and love and commitment. In only one act of violence, we saw so many people stand up in courage. The people in that room, in the face of a terrible situation, acted like good Unitarian Universalists. One of the individuals who died was said to have stood up in front of the shooter's weapon to shield others from the attack, and he gave his life for theirs, when it would have been so understandable to use violence in response to the man who was shooting at them. The members of our community simply restrained him until the police could arrive. Leave no doubt in your mind that our hopeful faith withstood a great test this week. In response to one act of violence, we saw thousands gather in solidarity. In response to one man, we saw millions come together and show their compassion and care. I think, friends, we can trust that humans have a community. More than some other events in the world that happen all the time that we should be paying attention to, it seems like this one called us to take a breather for a moment and reflect, because it hit so close to home for a lot of us. We've got members of this congregation who had friends and family in the congregation that day, and their values, the way they gather together and live their lives, and the way they worship looks so similar to ours. Yet this event serves as a reminder that we are not alone, that we share in the human condition in which, yes, violence and love and pain and fear and hope all exist at the same time. This is not bright-eyed liberal idealism. This is fact. And we've seen it this week and in so many other places. We're reminded that it's not the worship that is familiar, but the experience of being a human being. And that all these little labels we wear of conservative or liberal or red state or blue state or Christian or Buddhist or Jew, all these labels are so minor. While we would never ask for a situation like this to call us into reflection, I think we can use it to see that what we do in this place is real. That it means something to people who come in this door looking for hope and love and community. And that what we serve is so much bigger than ourselves. I think we can trust that. We can trust that there's more to life than labels and that one act of violence is not the end of hope. We know that life, as one of my friends says in almost every sermon, life wants to live. That community, that creation isn't something that happened thousands of years ago and is being corrupted now, but that it exists in you and me. That there's more creation happening in the cells of our bodies and our families and how we respond to death and life. That life wants to live. We can trust that just how we say in this community that all of life and creation is actually interconnected, that we know this to be true. That we actually do share common ancestors and we are one family. As the hymn we just sang reads, "What affects one affects us all." And we can trust, unfortunately, that there will be more violence. That bad things are going to continue to happen to liberals and conservatives and Christians and Muslims and Sikhs and anyone else in the world. But we know, as we have known for thousands of years, that communities of human beings will continue to join together and find ways to love each other. I've heard some people this week in our community express doubts about when we can be safe practicing our religion. A place that was called a sanctuary had gunfire in it this week. Now, we know that the events in Knoxville affected people far outside of that community, but we need to trust that this is just one isolated incident, and that we are as safe here as we were last week. We are as safe practicing religion as we've ever been, however safe that can be. And what we read in the newspaper or see in television certainly doesn't help me to have more trust in life. Trusting in life doesn't increase a television program's ratings. Trusting life doesn't have me buying newspapers, seeing what calamity is about to befall me. Hope does not have me glued to the television screen. Hope has me living my life. And hope will have us living ours. Nothing is ever certain in this life, and we know that there is so much that is beyond our control. But as Unitarian Universalists, we know that how we respond, that's up to us. As our own Mary McGregor said on a television interview this week, "How could you expect us to close the doors of our churches? We can't do that. We have to keep our doors open." My friends, we do have to keep our doors open. And not just the physical doors, but the doors that keep us open and vulnerable to more life and more love. So I'm suggesting something a bit unusual today in a Unitarian Universalist church. I'm asking you to give up some of your doubts. I'm asking you to give up doubting that your life isn't sacred just the way it is, that you're not holy just as you walked into this building this morning. I'm asking you to give up doubting that this community doesn't change people's lives in a way that will save them. I'm asking you to give up doubting that in the midst of suffering, life is precious and good. So let's bring our doubts, like Bob Weston said. But let's do it so that we have trust in something else. Let us have doubt so that we can have faith. And I don't mean the type of faith like people use that word so often now, but faith in the way that the theologian Paul Tillich talked about it when he said that faith is a verb. It is, quote, the act of being ultimately concerned. In this type of faith, we come together every week and we devote our worship and our life to only that which is worthy of devotion. Let our faith be a faith in life itself, a knowledge that love exists and that we can make it real in this life. So let's continue to bring our cynic's mind when we talk about creeds and doctrines, But please, friends, have no doubt that communities of hope will exist. That in an evolving universe, there is always more potential around every corner. Or as we say in one of our hymns, there's more love somewhere. On Monday evening, the children of Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church expressed something similar when they got up and finally performed the song that they had hoped to perform on Sunday morning. As rain started pouring outside of the building that evening, the congregation turned off the lights and the congregants held up candles in the dark as the children sang, "The sun will come out tomorrow." We know that it will. When we have events like these in our lives, let us take a moment to recognize how precious each of us is. My friends, let us live and love as if this were our only chance. What better time than now? Amen.